broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Wow, have we got a lot to cover. Let's kick into the recap of yesterday's broadcast first. We had our guest on, or co-host, if you will, on Mondays, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, Ron Paul Institute, .org, doing a phenomenal job as always. We talked about Utah County Attorney's debate on Saturday. The current county attorney wants to see more jury trials because that's an important check on the government, he says, meaning the government has to prove its case. I like that. I really commend the attorney for articulating that reality, folks. But yet, sadly, I know people in the county who are not getting a trial by jury. So, you know, I appreciate the attorney saying that, but I'm not seeing it in the lives of people that I know. Sad to say, but true. Anyway, the elections are on, as you know. People are debating in primaries or whatever you want to call it as they prepare to run for office, and it's time for you and I. We, the people, to really vet these candidates hard. Don't let them sucker you, if you will. Anyway, in relation to this, Lowell Nelson brought up an incredible must-read, if you will. Please read Trial by Jury by Lysander Spooner. And that's been around for a long time. It's an old, but it's on the internet, available free. Please read, quote, Trial by Jury, Lysander Spooner. And it also really reminds me of the Fully Informed Jury Association. You know, I don't believe in these common law juries. I don't believe they have authority is the problem with them. And we've articulated this many times on the radio and on TV and everything else. I don't believe in them, folks. They don't have legitimacy. They don't have authority. They don't have, in my opinion, the proper role of government. I know a lot of people say, oh, Sam, you just don't understand. If I get you with an expert that'll explain it to you, you'll get it. Uh-huh. You send me your most prized expert, and we'll debate it. We'll talk about it. We'll dig in, okay? So I don't believe in these citizen grand juries. But I do believe in fully informed juries. I do believe in trial by jury. I do believe that juries are legitimate and are one of the greatest last check and balance we have. There's no doubt about it. I just don't think we as individuals can create juries on our own without authority. That's all. But fully informed juries are fantastic, and they are there not only to judge the case before them, in other words, the guilt or innocence of a given individual or a given situation, crime, if you will, but they're really there also as a check and balance to try the law and to nullify when laws are unjust or unacceptable or intentionally vague, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So fully informed juries have real merit in America, and we need to focus on that. We talked about a column with Lowell Nelson yesterday from Ron Paul, former presidential candidate Ron Paul, doing a phenomenal job, former congressman, many-time congressman, I might add, and the Fed, and get more Doritos, writes Ron Paul. Just an incredible, insightful, educational, solutions-oriented column by Ron. He says a stealth form of inflation is called shrinkflation. Shrinkflation occurs when businesses reduce the size of a product but charge the same amount for it. That way the price can stay the same. So what Frito-Lay did in their Dorito packaging is they put less chips. in the pack. Fewer chips in the bag of Doritos. So it weighs less, but charging the same price. Yeah, that's really an increase, isn't it? Yeah, it's called shrinkflation. It's really more, even though the cost hasn't changed, right? Because you get less. They say less is more. Well, not always so, right? But ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, when a critical mass of people demand fiscal responsibility and constitutionally limited government, the politicians will comply. But remember, you got to have that critical mass we're talking about. You got to have enough people involved to make a difference. To put an end to the welfare warfare state, Congress can drastically reduce the military budget and end or reduce all corporate welfare. They can also shut down all unconstitutional cabinet departments. The savings can then be used to pay down the debt and to support those truly dependent, listen carefully, on government programs, while responsibility for providing assistance returns to local institutions and private charities where it belongs. You see how insightful that is? Congress should restore a sound monetary policy by auditing and then ending the Fed, as well as by repealing legal tender laws and capital gains taxes on precious metals and cryptocurrencies, ending the era of the welfare warfare state and fiat currency. That can lead to a transition to a new era of liberty, peace, prosperity, and transparency. Not only that, you get more Doritos, says Ron Paul. Great, great solutions-oriented column. Doubling down in defense of the free markets and more, as Ron always consistently does and has done so throughout his career. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we also talked about an incredible column by Lou Rockwell. A manufactured world crisis is what he talks about. The war before the war in the Ukraine. Basically saying, hey, you know what? The Ukraine has been attacking and manipulating and fighting a war. Nobody was concerned about it. Nobody mentioned it. Nobody even realizes about that until Russia struck the Ukraine. Now Russia's the bad guy. But Russia had been taking abuse from the Ukraine for a long time prior to this. America meddling in the affairs of these two, quote, sovereign nations on the other side of the world, if you will, for a long time as well. We must now learn the lesson of 1914 and reject the, quote, lesson of 1938. Ryan McMakin with that incredible piece highlighting how we should behave internationally. The founding fathers avoid foreign entanglements takes center stage in that reality check, right? What the chattering classes of Russia are talking about, yeah, Gilbert Doctorow wrote that piece. Wow. The looming collapse of the Ukrainian resistance is upon us. David Stockman with that piece. And, you know, I don't know what you've been told in the mainstream press, because I don't watch the mainstream press very much. But they're basically saying, hey, you know what? Ukraine's doing great. The fight's on. Russia's stalled. Russia's not doing as well as they purport to be, and so on and so forth. The truth is, Russia has decimated the Ukraine and their ability to deal militarily speaking. And it's going to put the United States in a very bad bind, because we've either got to escalate or admit virtual defeat. We backed the Ukrainians. We should not have picked sides. We should have not have been involved at all. Why is Joe pushing for war? Probably to cover up the corona lies. Probably to cover up the fiat currency spend us into oblivion money meltdown. Probably to cover up the fact that these countries are going to jettison the petrodollar, meaning the U.S. dollar tied to oil. And by force, we've pushed these countries around the world to use the dollar, the de facto oil, quote, trading currency. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to come home to roost, because you know what? Countries are getting sick of the abusive behavior of the United States around the world, and they're looking at tying other currencies to their trade in oil. And by the way, that's legitimate. Why should a country be forced to use U.S. dollars? Look, the Ukraine and Russia, why would they use U.S. dollars instead of their own currencies in exchange for oil with, say, Europe or anybody else for that matter? Why would the dollar be the de facto? See, that's the problem. Is Joe trying to cover up for the fact that, hey, we might be in a meltdown scenario? And is he hoping war will keep everybody on the U.S. dollar for a little while longer? Time will tell, but what a fiasco we've got ourselves in. I'll tell you that right now. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson doing a phenomenal job. Hour 2, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley, his collegiate series and lifelong golden match to preserve the nation, all available at freedomsrisingsun.com, along with his incredible weekly webinars and a whole lot more, freedomsrisingsun.com. But we talked about, are you part of the sovereign citizen movement? Do you identify as a sovereign citizen? Many roads lead to hell, ladies and gentlemen, but only one road leads to heaven. Many roads lead to tyranny, but the Constitution of the United States of America leads to liberty, ladies and gentlemen. What does consent of the governed actually mean? Huh? Is it a collective reality or is it an individual discussion? If men were angels, no government would be necessary, says James Madison. Amen to that. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live on your radio.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we had named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips always. Especially when I'm on the radio, I guess, huh? That's how it is. We do our very best to make a difference, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere we go. And there's a lot to what we talk about on your radio. We're in the middle of the recap of yesterday's show, man. Yesterday was really a barn burner broadcast, doubling down in defense of liberty, rejection of this idea that you can be a sovereign citizen. And individually, you can do whatever you want. Individually, you quote the law. The law is God's law. The law is the common law, and therefore, hey, the, you know, corporate world that has jettisoned, you know, back in 1871 or whatever it is, 1861. Hey, you know, we've got a different ball game now, folks. You got to jettison the fringe on the flag, and you got to jettison the this and that. It isn't that way, folks. I know you want to believe it's that way, but I'm telling you that it's not. You didn't just have the government dishonestly take you off of the Constitution. We can return to it. You got to ask yourself, one of the great ways you can know if something's legitimately appropriate is, what if everyone did that? What would happen, right? What if everyone started their own grand jury, for instance? By golly, my grand jury is more powerful and bigger and better positioned. And, well, we've got some mafiosos there that can go ahead and carry out my arrests after my grand jury adjudicates and, you know, indicts and everything else. And my grand jury is the grand jury, the granddaddy grand jury of them all. Sam Daddy grand jury, baby, right? It isn't true. You can't just do that. There's not authority for that, folks. And I want to debate those who claim there is authority. We can just go right to the mat and discuss it. So this is an open invitation. Don't give me your people who believe in this but don't have the knowledge and the discussion capability to back up their, you know, claims on this. But it's not legitimate, ladies and gentlemen. The only legitimate way is for we the people to educate ourselves in great enough numbers. We must then return to the foundational principles of the proper role of government, folks. That is the only way. And I know those of you who are frustrated, you just feel like, man, what the heck can we do? We've just been stymied on this for so long. I get it. I truly do get it. But I also get, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter how desperate we are for answers, no matter how desperate we are for answers, the answer is not in taking the law into your own hands. Okay, even though you believe you're right, even though you believe the law is on your side, all it's going to do is lead you into trouble. If you take on the IRS, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything you've got. And I know people that have even lost their homes. They've lost literally everything. And due to the grace of God, they're not homeless. But they were even run around saying, I'm on the brink of winning, Sam. I'm so close. We've got them on the run, Sam. I just don't believe all that. Excuse me. I don't believe that you're going to win that way. I believe all you're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is getting yourself in a situation where you're in trouble. See, it's take on the IRS and you end up losing everything. Possibly going to jail, right? That's the problem. You lose everything. I just don't understand how to help people with this. Okay, you do the grand juries, and you go ahead and you get your people together, and you go ahead and do your own analysis, then you indict. Well, who's going to go arrest on your behalf, right? Who are you going to go ask for help if it doesn't, when you get this done? Who are you going to get to do the arresting? See, the problem with these common law grand juries is there is no check and balance in the system. There is no line of authority or custody of authority here. And that's the problem with it. See, our system was designed to prevent that very thing, folks. Do you understand that? To prevent that very thing from happening. That's what I don't think people get, really. I don't think people really understand what I'm saying with that. But look, where does the authority come from to create your own grand jury? See, when we gave consent, the consent of the governed, they derive their just power. You say, well, Sam, that isn't just power. They're taking power into themselves. That's right. They are, and it's wrong, and it needs to stop. But there are ways to next election, get rid of, in one election cycle, you can get rid of 435 members of the House, all of them, every single House representative gone. the Senate. Every 2 years, you can get rid of one-third of the Senate. In a six-year period, they're all gone. The president could be gone every 4 years. Do you understand? Within a six-year time frame, you could replace everybody at the federal level. You say, well, Sam, not the cabinets, not the... Yeah, you can, because the new president can get rid of whoever he wants to in his cabinets. Every congressman and senator can dump the whole staff and get new staff. Right? Well, Sam, you can't get rid of the Supreme Court that quick and that easy. No, you're right. You can't. However, you can nullify. There is dual sovereignty in America. Ask the late Antonin Scalia in the Sheriff Mack case to prove the point. There is dual sovereignty in America. There are checks and balances, and these checks and balances can be used, but they can't be used by a tiny minority. They cannot be used by the very few. And you could say, well, that's frustrating, Sam. No, it's by design, ladies and gentlemen. It's intentional by the founding fathers because, hey, you know what? A few have got control of the system, but they've done so over many, many, many years. They've installed themselves in the House of Representatives, in the Senate. And then they put their staffs in. So even if you get a new congressman tomorrow, if he's not smart enough to get rid of the entire staff, he just jumps in the position that's surrounded by the swamp and he gets gobbled up. The first thing I would do if I became a congressman or a senator is I would dismiss all former staff that was there. Every one of them. Gone. And I'd bring in my own people that I trust, that I believe are honorable, that I would have publicly swear an oath to the Constitution working for me. That's what I would do. See, but there's a difference, right? And that's the problem. So you can't have the few without authority just go ahead and do whatever they want to. It doesn't work that way, and it never has. In our very system, ladies and gentlemen, is designed to prevent that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our whole very system is designed to prevent that idea. That's the problem that I don't think people really understand. I just don't know how to help understand it better. But look, you can't do it. There's no check and balance there. And there's no authority. We the people gave our consent to the Constitution and the carrying out thereof, if you will. That's the contract. We didn't give a contract to a group that says, hey, my grand jury's the answer now. My grand jury's going to rein you in, hold you accountable, play judge, jury, and executioner. That isn't the way that it works. Oh, no, Sam, we're peaceful, civil, good people. We want to follow the Constitution. That's right. What part of the Constitution are you following? Well, Sam, look at your Seventh Amendment. It says the common law. What is the common law? Are we going to go all the way back to, the King's Court for common law? Or are we going to take principles therein? What is the principle therein? Well, one of them in America has been you're innocent until proven guilty. So aren't these bureaucrats, professional do-gooders, aren't the members of the swamp? Are they afforded the same? Well, of course they are. Well, wow. Okay, now we got to go through a trial by jury, and we've got to give them due process as well. Does a self-appointed grand jury, a citizen's grand jury based on common law, does that give them a fair trial? What about a jury of their peers? Who's their peers? Is it us that are forming a grand jury that say, hey, these guys are the bad guys? See, where does all this go? I know the Patriots are going to eat me alive over this. It's going to divide the Patriot community to really double down on this. But I've got to. People are getting in trouble left and right. They're losing precious resources that could be used to preserve the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our prayers are with all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Will Smith in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden struck a deal with the European Union in hopes it will undercut Russian energy.
We've agreed on a joint game plan toward that goal while accelerating our progress toward a secure, clean energy future. This initiative focuses on two core issues. One, helping Europe reduce its dependency on Russian gas as quickly as possible. And secondly, reducing Europe's demand for gas overall.
Russia provides about 40% of Europe's gas needs. As world leaders continue to explain what was meant in a statement or a speech, it's Russia's turn. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said in an interview with PBS Monday that Russia would only use nuclear weapons if there was a threat for existence to the country and not due to the war in Ukraine. USA Radio News.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call toll-free 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Again, 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490 today.
Or at SwissAmerica.com.
As many colleges over the years have been dumbing down their entrance exams, one top 15 school says they're going the other way.
The Massachusetts Institute of Technology, also known as MIT, says it will reinstate SAT and ACT requirements. The school, in a statement, said it made the decision due to the availability of COVID-19 vaccine and an increase in students taking tests in schools. Standardized tests were initially suspended at MIT due to pandemic concerns. The school further said in part that its research shows standardized tests helps them better assess the academic preparedness of all applicants, adding that a requirement is more equitable and transparent than a test optional policy. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
The journal Annals of Internal Medicine is reporting metformin used to treat high blood sugars when used by men in a three-month period before they conceived a child was linked to a 40% higher risk of birth defects in their children. USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio, hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. All right, so there's so much news, so little time. Let's talk about this Will Smith fiasco. Nobody else can talk about anything else. Everybody loves violence. Everybody loves bread and circus, blood and circus, if you will. Will Smith stunned the world when he hit Chris Rock during the Oscars, and it's all people are talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Jake Paul offers Chris and Will big money. $15 million each to go ahead and fight in the ring. Shame on Jake Paul. What an opportunist for cash, huh? Smith finally apologized to Rock. The Oscars, they say, got some solid TV ratings Sunday night, averaging, they say, 13.73 million viewers on ABC. That's kind of interesting. They say in the early data, due to it being a live event, now they finally, after years and years and years, admit that it's early data due to it being a live event. They say the final numbers will be different. So, you know, they're just guessing at their numbers. They want you to believe the numbers are solid, but they're not. They're admitting they're being different. But the Oscars got solid TV ratings. I guess in 21, there's only 10 million. Now there's 13 plus million, an incredible increase, they claim. But ladies and gentlemen, the clip of the hit, if you will, on Twitter currently has more than 18 million views. So the hit from Will to Chris has more than 18 million views, more than the actual show. So it's been watched more times than the actual Oscars show. So that really brings up a serious question that I have about this, ladies and gentlemen. There's kind of the facts of the case. Will hit Chris. Everybody melted down. Then Will got an Oscar. And everybody was all kind of tripping out, and it's been the big old talk of the town ever since. Now, some say Will just went crazy when Chris made a, quote, joke, a comment about his wife and her having less hair than normal due to an illness. Will just said, you know what, love makes you do crazy things. He went crazy. And Chris literally responded and said, man, he just smacked the crap out of me. And then Will dropping F-bombs and everything else along the way. And how this all happens at the Oscars is beyond me. But the points that I want to bring up about this are several. Number one, why on earth in the Oscars, a very controlled environment with security, why did they not haul Will Smith out for an assault right on the spot? They say security thought about it, but nobody was in a good position to do much about it. And while they were pondering what to do, then all of a sudden Will got his Oscar and it was all good. So they kind of let it go. No. Shame on them for several reasons. One, an assault just literally happened in a place that has incredible security, in a place where they've got rules against this kind of behavior. And they did nothing. They literally allowed black-on-black crime to take center stage at the Oscars. And at the end, oh, you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry. Will apologize to Chris a day and a half or whatever it is later. And don't worry. It's okay. Chris isn't going to press charges on Will. And I'm thinking, wait a minute now, you just on national TV allowed that violence to take place? Literally hitting him in the face. And there's not going to be any charges pressed. The Oscars aren't really going to do anything about it. Don't worry, we'll apologize. But it's black-on-black crime taking center stage in America. Now, if a white person had punched a black person, do you realize what kind of stratospheric reality we would be facing then? Wow. But it's okay. It's Will. Will can do anything he wants to. He's like a god, almost. Don't you dare challenge Will. I mean, Will just got kind of crazy because he loves his woman so much. And, man, his woman. Look, the Oscars are all about these kind of jokes. I'm not telling you that it wasn't a tasteless joke. It was. But most of their jokes are tasteless in the first place. That's why nobody really wants to watch the Oscars, right? But literally in a place with high security, they literally do nothing. Now, if I go into a meeting, oh, a friend of mine did this, didn't he? Yeah, my buddy Mike went into a meeting in Salt Lake City, and he had a sticker on his shirt that he got when he came into the meeting. People were passing out stickers. He got one and put it on his shirt. And they literally said, you can't have that sticker on your shirt in this meeting. It's against the rules. You got to leave. He's like, no, I'm not leaving. I'll take off my sticker, but I'm not leaving. And they literally arrested him, hauled him off. Now there's charges being pressed. So let me get this right. If you're an average American going to a meeting trying to advocate for or against a certain bill and you're peaceful, then you're going to get arrested even if you have a sticker on your shirt because it violates the rules. Even if you're willing to cooperate and get rid of your sticker. Hey, you're out of there. Breaking the rule. Shame on you. How dare these folks try to take over and control and disrupt the meeting, right? But yet, if you're Will Smith, you can literally get up there and punch somebody, hit somebody in the face. No harm, no foul at the Oscars. So there's so many things that come to mind here. The violence that's unacceptable. The violation of all the rules at the Oscars. The security that simply did nothing to protect Chris. Chris not filing charges. You add this all up and you go, hold on a minute. Will Smith stunned the world when he hit Chris Rock. Jake Paul then offers Chris and Will each $15 million to fight. Smith finally apologized to Rock a day and a half later. The Oscars got some solid TV ratings. The click of the hit on Twitter got more views than even the Oscars. 18 million views. Ready for my question, ladies and gentlemen? Was this really Chris made a joke and Will just went berserk because love makes you do crazy things and commit black-on-black crime and the security does nothing and all this unfolding the way it is? Is that really, honestly, the way it went down? Or was this scripted? And was this concocted as a skit to garner ratings for the Oscars? You can say to me, Sam, that's a conspiracy theory. You have no evidence. And my response is, the evidence is pretty clear. You got black-on-black crime literally highlighted on national, global TV, if you will. And nothing is done about it. Nothing to quell the violence. Oh, they stood up and said, oh, any violence is bad. But that's it. Security did nothing. Chris does not press charges. Somebody else says, hey, I'll give you guys, hey, Jake Paul offering $15 million each if you guys would fight. Obviously, nobody's going to fight, but what an opportunity to spread the, well, they say this, stuns the world. What a way to stun the world. What a way to shock the world for all that. And then to say, hey, we want you guys to fight. We'll give you $15 million each. And then when it's all said and done, what happened? You had black-on-black violence go down. You had literally an apology a day and a half later. Look, if I apologize, they'd say your apology is not enough, Sam. You're a white supremacist. You're a racist. You're a hater. You're a bigot. You're a conspiracy theorist, constitutionalist. And they'd go on and on and on for days. So I wonder, I'm not telling you this is a fact, but look, I think this very well could have just been scripted. This could have been a way to say, hey, we've got to bring incredible attention. It'll advance Chris's career. Yeah, Will will take a hit by it, kind of, but not really. It's Will. Will kind of is the golden boy. He can do whatever he wants. And so, yeah, Will will take a hit until he apologizes. Then pretty soon it'll be kind of remembered in the annals of history as, wow, remember that time when Will punched Chris? And wow, that was crazy. And how's that going to affect the Oscars going forward? Do you think ratings will increase? Do you think everybody will go, wow, what's going to happen next? It reminds me of the Janet Jackson, what do you want to say? Wardrobe malfunction, is that how they put it? Yeah. Is that what we're talking about? Anyway, I look at that and I just go, I think this thing was scripted, intentional, and I believe that it's all to get focus to advance these two gentlemen's careers, as well as advance the Oscars, not only currently, but in the future. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable, live.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm saying to you that I don't know this for a fact, but I'm telling you right now, I look at this big old fiasco on Will Smith and Chris Rock. I think it's really nothing but a big old media op. Smith finally apologized to Rock. Had to be done. No really accountability. No real response. The Oscars got some solid TV ratings there. The click of the hit on Twitter got more coverage than the Oscars did. That's right now. But going forward, how many people do you think will watch the Oscars? They're waiting for another Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. Just show her boobs or whatever. Show her breasts, right? It was all an accident, don't you know? And this thing, I mean, Will's just so in love with his woman, buddy. He just went berserk. You can't blame the poor guy. But ladies and gentlemen, what about black-on-black crime? How come there's no accountability? Is it? Look, if you're in an NBA game and you even talk back to the refs or you even look at somebody wrong or there's a little bit of an altercation, somebody, you know, hits your arm and then you push them back or something, even a tiny altercation, not even throwing blows, you get fined in the NBA, right? In America, Americans are getting kicked out of school board meetings for speaking their minds, not even getting violent at all. They're getting kicked out and shut down and all this stuff, right? Right? I mean, it's just crazy. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing this is just insane. So I'm convinced because there's no real response, there's no real accountability, there's no real, I don't know what word you want to use for it or whatever, but why would there be no accountability? I mean, is there any real accountability here? Is there any real repercussions for your actions? See, I don't see any. And that's why I say you can't just do that. Now, all I'm telling you is I would accept that it was legitimate if there was real accountability, maybe. Hey, you're going to get fined, Will. Or if they hauled him out of the Oscars right on the spot and said, look, you know what? You're going to jail, my friend. We just literally witnessed hundreds of people, if not thousands, millions, witnessed you assault somebody. We're not going to tolerate this. Then I might think something different. But right now I look at this and I just go, man, this has got to be a rating stunt. And the problem is we don't, without an investigation, we don't know if that's a fact. But it sure looks like it to me. And you say, wow, what kind of ratings will they get? How many people will be watching the Oscars next time to see if there's a violent incident, an episode of violence, whether there's, who know? We don't know what's going to go down. It might be wardrobe malfunction. It might be a somebody punches somebody. It might be a, who knows what it will be. But people are going to anticipate that, and viewership is going to go up. Is that just a byproduct of Love Gone Wild? Or is that something more sinister? Without a real investigation, we can't know for sure. There's no way we can really know without digging in and on all that. But I know this. It couldn't have been better for the Oscars in terms of ratings. They literally have a clip of the Oscars. Oscars, Oscars, every time Oscars. Will, Oscars, Chris, Oscars, fight, Oscars, Oscars. And focused on and talked about and to the point, even I'm covering it, right? And they love that. I often see this go on between different talk show hosts as well. You'll have two talk show hosts that get in a tiff about something. So let's just say an Alex Jones and a Glenn Beck. And Glenn somehow assaults Alex. And so Alex fires back and says, Glenn, you're weak and you're nobody. And then somebody else says, hey, I bet you could put those guys in a ring and give them a bunch of money to fight. And then they literally have this big old tiff. And all that does is advance both careers. All that does is advance the networks they're on. It doesn't, you know, do anything to harm either one of them, really, in the end of the day. I mean, those who think Alex Jones is a kook, that's the Glenn Beck camp, and I already think that. Those who think Glenn Beck is soft and not hard-hitting like Alex Jones, they already think that Glenn's a shill. And so you're not going to change any minds, but what you're going to do is escalate both of these talk show hosts. Just get my name right. Cover whatever you want, but just get my name right. Right? More than 18 million views, and we haven't even begun. How many views will this hit on the Oscars have before it's done? And what will that do to the ratings next go-round for the Oscars? I don't know. I'm just saying the thing is very strange indeed. Very strange indeed. It reminds me how we have two classes in America. You've got the average Joe. You go down to your school board meeting and say, I don't like how you're teaching my kids, and they'll literally call you a terrorist and sick the FBI on you. But if you're Will Smith, you can do whatever you want to. You can literally punch somebody on national TV, and it's fine. No worries, no harm, no foul. It was like, oh, it was a bad thing to do. You shouldn't have done it. By golly, Will, that was really bad. You should say you're sorry, Will. But you remember, what's that guy's name? What's his name? Is it Morgan? He's a country singer. They called him a racist because he supposedly got drunk and made racist. Morgan Wallace, is that what it is? Right? Called a racist because he got drunk and said some things he shouldn't have said. Oh, it's Morgan Wallen, country singer. Apologizes for racial slur as backlash. Morgan Wallen caught using the N-word. Racial slur. What's worse, using the N-word or literally punching somebody on national TV, folks? Yeah, video shows country star Morgan Wallen yelling racial slur in a drunken rage coming back to his home in his neighborhood one night. All right, but you look at that and you go, this guy literally got taken down, affecting him to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. But yeah, Will Smith punches somebody. What's worse, getting drunk and coming home late at night and yelling the N-word in your neighborhood, or literally punching someone on national TV? What's worse in your mind, ladies and gentlemen? Now, I'm not for either of these. It's not a comparison about, hey, let's behave as worst we can. That's not what it's about in my mind, because that's not what I believe in, right? But I bring it up because the severity of one's actions is serious. And how do we say that Will's fine, but Morgan Wallen, man, shut his career literally down, suspend him from all the social media, suspend him from Spotify and all the tune playing services, and man, he's got to really pay for his crime, and he goes away for months and then comes back and says, after serious reflection, after realizing how evil and uncaring and unkind and I've been, by golly, and now maybe he's, well, that even launched Morgan's career, didn't it? Morgan's actually doing better than he's ever done. Maybe that's a media op too. maybe we can launch racism and critical race theory and all these different issues to the national stage and advance people's careers. Maybe they're all political stunts. The problem is we just don't know, do we? The problem is we just can't know. Anyway, I find that very, very interesting. We'll keep an eye on that ball for you as more and more of these instances come across our desk. Maybe I need to get in a fight with somebody to escalate my career. Huh? No. That's not, I don't believe in the shock jock mentality. Just kind of musing. But is that what some of these people, Jesse Smollett comes to mind. Was that a real racist abuse of Jesse? Or was that a made-up manufactured, wow, Jesse sure got in the news. Well, Sam, that just hurt his career. Well, we'll see long-term what it really does. But he had hoped to get away with it. It would have done his career good and pushed the dishonest narrative, right? But that one went wrong. All right, we're going to have a Ron Paul update real quick. Ron Paul weekly updates. They're always worth playing here because he digs in on some real issues that matter. Here is Ron Paul on your radio.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 28th. Previewing President Biden's trip to Europe last week, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said that the president is traveling to Europe to make sure we stay united. That sure didn't go as planned. This may have been the most disastrous and dangerous presidential overseas trip ever. The U.S. and its NATO allies have repeatedly proclaimed that protecting Ukraine's democracy has never been about threatening Russia. Holding out NATO membership and sending billions of dollars in military equipment to Ukraine, starting under Trump, was not threatening Russia. CIA training camps in eastern Ukraine, where paramilitaries were trained on U.S. weapons systems, was not about threatening Russia. But at every stop, President Biden seemed to undermine the narrative his own administration had carefully crafted. First up, warning that Russia might use chemical weapons in Ukraine. Biden promised it would trigger a response in kind, meaning the U.S. would use chemical weapons as well. That would be a serious war crime. National Security Advisor Sullivan had to be brought to explain that the U.S. has no intention of using chemical weapons. Later, speaking to the 82nd Airborne in Poland, President Biden told them that U.S. troops would soon be in Ukraine. He said to the troops, you're going to see women, young people standing in the middle of, in front of a tank, just saying, I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground. A White House spokesman had to clarify that the president had been clear, we are not sending U.S. troops to Ukraine, and there is no change in that position. Clear? Well, not exactly. He had just said that the opposite to our own troops. Then at the end of Biden's final speech in Poland, the president inadvertently told the truth. The U.S. involvement in Ukraine is all about regime change for Russia. Speaking of a Russian President Putin, he told the audience near the border of Ukraine, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power. The president's disaster control team immediately mobilized in the person of Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who offered this pained interpretation of Biden's clear statement. I think the president, the White House, made the point last night that quite simply, President Putin cannot be empowered to wage war or engage in aggression against Ukraine.
All right, bottom line, thank you, Ron Paul. Will Joe Biden lead us into a war is the real question. We pray the answer is no, but it sure looks like every statement Joe makes ends up getting walked back like, whoa, that's not what I meant or what I, what a shame, what a disgrace on the international stage for the United States of America. Hour one of the Cantu coming up, Brady on TV. God save the Republic.